I want to thank Steve for inviting me to preach. It's a great privilege to preach here for a number of reasons. I'll just mention two. You're a special congregation that God wants to bless. And this church is called the Church of St. John Chrysostom. St. John Chrysostom was a very great preacher. In fact, after the Bible period, he's considered perhaps the best preacher that the church had for hundreds of years. The name Chrysostom apparently means golden mouth, John Golden Mouth, and he was given that name because he was such a wonderful preacher. Now, I am not a golden mouth, but I do love the fact that God has called me to be a minister and to preach his special message, which is good news for all who live in darkness and are being called into the light. Now, I want to do a word association with you. Do you know what a word association is? I say a word, and whatever comes into your mind, first up, you tell me. First word I put up, very important religious word, is the word sport. So what comes to mind? Essendon. There is a very bright lady over this corner. Any advance on that for sport? Collingwood. This is going in a different direction, yes. Soccer. Cricket. Healthy. What was that? Hooligans, yep. Yeah, no, it's just association. Yes. Training. This is very good. You're very good with association. Heidi, what are you saying? Television. Tennis. Injury. AFL. Rugby. Entertainment. The team. Charles. Cricket. Okay, let's stop there. You're very good with that. Word association works. The second word is the word mum, as in mother. What comes to mind with mum? Perfect. Love. Food. Nurture. Care. iPad. Food, thank you. Honesty.
Cleaning fairy.
What was that?
Cleaning fairy.
Cleaning fairy. Any other? Hard work. Love. What else?
Cooking.
Oh, by the way, two of my children are here now. I just... When I was introduced, I had to tell where they were. Okay, the next word I want to put up, I'll just take those off. Again, it's just what comes to mind quickly as I say the word. And the word is desire. What comes to mind when you hear the word desire? Sorry, what was that? No? Shopping? I'll write these up. What was over here? Art. Heart. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit, as you gather, deaf. Wisdom?
Chocolate.
Doesn't really matter what we do as long as it involves... I better explain something, if I haven't done this before. In third class at Barham Primary School, if you know where Barham is, in my report, you know, end of year school report, it had the word spelling, and beside it, it had the word retarded. Yeah. That's probably why I married probably the best speller in this room. O?
L.
Thank you. Chocolate, okay. Other words for desire. Okay, nations. Sex.
Money.
You're very good. This is excellent word association. Sorry? Need. Need. Advertising. Good advertising understands about desires, doesn't it? The gospel. Want. Anything else?
Longing.
Very interesting, as I, you know, just came to me as we're talking. If you've ever read the author C.S. Lewis, he was converted as a scholar at Oxford University to Christ. And he came to the conclusion that the problem with people is not that they desire, but they don't desire enough, because God created us to desire. So it's very interesting. And you'll see why I put this word up in relationship to our passage. Is this? Can you hear me? Is this coming across? Is all right? Okay. Now, in this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, what we're talking about in this series, it was probably written when he was a prisoner in Rome. There's a difference of opinion about that. But it was written to a church that he'd started in Macedonia, in the city of Philippi, which was a Roman military outpost. And this church was special for a number of reasons. It was the first church that Paul ever established in Europe. And he'd been travelling through what is modern Turkey. In those days, that was called Asia, the province of Asia. And he wanted to continue on his way, but his way was blocked. And he had a vision of a man of Macedonia calling him and saying, "We want help." And so he took that as from God. And who's had a vision? We're talking about, we say vision? Okay. So some of you experienced that. He had this vision, and he took a boat from Asia to Europe, went to Macedonia and established a church in Philippi. So that's very interesting because, most of us here have roots in Europe. European Christendom is important in why we're Christians. So that's what happened. And so it's some years later that he's writing this letter when he's in prison, and he is going to have a court case. It was delayed and delayed and delayed. And the result of the court case mightn't be good. It might mean that he's going to die, going to be executed. So he's writing the letter in that context of possible execution. Interesting how sometimes when people are under great stress, what they write has power to touch hearts. Makes me think a little bit of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who also wrote from prison. He was imprisoned by the Nazis in Germany, and his letters and papers from prison have touched a lot of hearts. Not as many as Paul's letters, but still the same effect. Now, he's in prison, and he writes this. He says in verse 23, you may have heard it, "My desire is to depart from this world and to be with Christ." My desire is to depart and to be with Christ. Now, it's important to realise that Paul loves life. This letter to the Philippians is full of joy. He's a happy man. And in it we read later on, when we get to that section, Paul learns how to be content in all circumstances. When I was a minister of a fairly large church in Sydney, I outwardly was doing okay. The church actually was doing very well. But inwardly, I wasn't. Inwardly, I wasn't coping. And through some associations I had and friends and so on, I enrolled in a course which was a study of ministry. And I had to write a thesis. And my thesis topic was finding joy and contentment in leading parish ministry. Now, I don't know whether that title means a lot to you. Every time I shared that title with a minister, do you know what they said? They wanted to read it. Because if you're the minister of a church and you've been in that job for a while, you may have sensed that you're losing your joy, and you certainly don't readily claim to be contented. Now, you might be in that situation yourself, whatever job or work or life you have, but joy and contentment are not easily won, and Paul had them. And he was happy. So why would he be happy to die? Indeed, he says more than just being happy. He says he really desires to depart this life so he can be with Jesus. Now, as I read that, I thought, that's personally challenging to me. Do I, because I'm happy most of the time. Yeah, more happiness than unhappiness. I think that's the secret to life, isn't it? Balance it out that you're more happy than you are unhappy. But do I really desire to depart this life and be with Jesus? Is that, you know, as I look in my heart, I don't find that I'm quite as keen as Paul seems to be. Now, there have been saints in the past who have the same heart here as St. Paul. One of my heroes is Simeon of Cambridge, and he was 54 years the vicar of a parish church and faced enormous struggles as he taught the Bible, visited the needy and prayed with people. Being a Christian leader is a tough job. In fact, anyone who wants to follow Jesus will find it's a struggle. Am I right there? Is that right? Struggle following Jesus? The world seeks to silence lovers of God, lovers of Jesus. Now, Simeon said as he got older, I cannot but run with all my might, for I am close to the goal. I cannot but run with all my might, for I'm close to the goal. Heavens above, I'm 73. I'm closer to the goal than when I became a believer at 17. I remember the challenge that I was given as a teenager when I was asked the question, is Christ unique in your affections? It was actually in the Scripture Union notes I was using. Is Christ unique in your affections? And I loved the question and all that the question implied, that Jesus Christ is to be for me the most important person in my life. I came to realise that by placing Jesus as number one in my life, it would actually help me in my relationships with other people, that I would learn to love others. Yet now at 73, do I really desire to depart this life and be with Jesus? I like the challenge. I can see its importance. Paul really challenges me. Does anyone else feel the challenge? A very dear friend of mine named Ken Shillitoe, died last year, and it affected me deeply. He'd been a Christian minister at Hoppers Crossing in the Werribee area, and we actually retired in the same month, May 2016. I retired from St. Mark's Reservoir, he retired from Hoppers Crossing. And I went to his retirement celebration, and what shone through for me, what I was reminded of, because I knew him quite well, was that he was a lover of Jesus. It really came through. We worked together in the same parish church in Parramatta for 4 years. That was some years ago. We formed a wonderful team. although there were things I didn't like about Ken. We worked close together, and so I could see his warts. Do you know what a wart is? He didn't have physical warts, but he had other kinds of warts. Funny thing was that he didn't particularly like me all the time either. I mean, I didn't have any warts, but he seemed to think I did. And he told me. This was after he'd left, some years after. He told me. I won't go into the details. But that takes courage. You have to really love someone to tell them that kind of stuff. And we both eventually moved to Melbourne. 10 years ago I came. He was already here. And we took up and formed a very close relationship. But in Parramatta, we worked together as a team because we did have things in common. We realised that deep down we loved the gospel. We loved Jesus. We loved and believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And some people describe what happened in Parramatta as revival. And certainly a lot of people were converted to Christ. Marriages were brought together. There was healing. There were some wonderful things happening in the midst of all the other things. But isn't it interesting, the two ministers who had some tensions, still at base, had that common, we stood firm together for the faith against opposition. Now, I'm deeply moved when I hear the testimony of, I was asked that question earlier, but I hear the testimony of someone who loves Jesus. I'm very moved by that. Recently, I was challenged by another question. A man suggested that I pray this prayer to Jesus. Lord Jesus, what do you want from me? What do you want me to further hand over to you to purify my relationship with you? I hope you don't mind the examples coming from my own life, because that just happens to be my experience. But I'm not holding myself up as anyone other than an ordinary Christian. But that was a challenge to me, because I find in my life that there are times when I want to be accepted and approved by other people. I like being approved, which is a bit of a disaster if you become a minister. Something I didn't realise at the time. So to purify my relationship with Jesus, I need to hand all to him so that I don't, as it were, have that need for approval dominating things. He becomes central again, so that other relationships can be purified. And I find this happens. I think that was a very good question that man asked me. I get, from time to time, I've got some kind of counsel from wise older Christians. In this part of his letter, Paul is encouraging us to stand firm with one another, having one spirit and one mind for the faith of the gospel. I think that this means not that we become alike, but that we don't have to all be the same, but that at heart we strive for what really matters. We have a common heart. I find it's a wonderful thing, as I've travelled around, that quite often I meet or go to churches I've never been before, and I meet people I've never met before, and there is a common spirit. It's a wonderful thing. Christians have a great advantage in that sense, I think, when we travel. Anyway, that's been my experience. But at heart, we need to strive for what really matters together, if we can be like Ken and I were together, who at the deepest level wanted Jesus to be known, to know him and him crucified as our Saviour, and then the other differences fade away. Now, as I said earlier, Paul ends this chapter with the amazing words, God has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, and you've heard that many times, but then he goes on to say, but of suffering for him as well. Now, he's the one in prison. He's the one, as it were, who's suffering, but he's writing to the Philippians and saying, God has graciously granted you the privilege of suffering for him as well, since you have the same struggle that I have. Now, that's an interesting way of putting it, but I suspect that anyone who wants to stand up for Jesus will struggle and won't compromise. So, do you find that you actually suffer because of Christ and your belief in him. Who's found that? Who's found that they've suffered? You found that? You found that? You found that, Tom? You found that? Anyone like to share what experience they've had? You want to share that? Your family. Family. And that's very intimate, isn't it? I mean, that's really a struggle, isn't it? People who are close. Yeah. You've learnt you can't please all the people all the time. I've got a book that'll tell you how to do it. Don't believe me. Tom. Sorry? And you are.
And
you are. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a great thing that, aren't we all meant to love one another? Isn't that what the Bible says? So why did Jesus spend so much time telling us that we should be united and love one another? I mean, he knew. The problem is the world gets into the church. And the world is, you know, the world in us is struggling all the time. Yeah. We're not pure. Well, in other churches there isn't purity. Maybe there is here. But I'm sure you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Conflict is suffering. And I guess the one who suffers the most in that is Jesus himself. And if you read John chapter 17, you find that's what it's all about, really. Yeah. Anyone else experience suffering as a Christian? Yeah. Being judged. So it affects your relationships, particularly Christians. That's very sober, isn't it? It's a very sober comment. Yeah. If you're a minister, when I was in Sydney, they used the word sound. Is he a sound man, you see? You ever heard that? Sound man. It's important to be sound. You understand what I'm saying, Ruth? You know, you've got to be a sound person. Some people believe things that really aren't quite right, you know, as Christians. Is that true? I guess what Paul's telling us here is there are some things that really matter that we can share. The other things, okay, let's sort of not be quite so excited about that. But there is a struggle in following Jesus. I wonder where the conflict amongst Christians isn't so that we are being purified. You know, we need to be purified. I mean, life does mean struggle if we're being honest with each other. I mean, the fact is the world does not like allegiance to Jesus, who is our King. Paul says something here that wouldn't go down well on social media. He says to the Christians in Philippi, you are not intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction. Now, it requires courage to stand firm in the faith. I guess the model here is not in the church now, but in your workplace or wherever you are amongst non-Christians. Non-Christian, or the world generally. I mean, perhaps we could say a lot more about this. When we display courage,
as Christians,
when we have calm, united courage, it's a token of the destruction, the
perdition that awaits those who are obstinate foes of holiness.
So what St. Paul is pointing to here can be summarised for me in two words, courage and humility. As we look to Jesus, so we learn to love him more and willingly. We willingly submit under his care. Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Master, our friend, our guide. And so we learn humility. It's very humbling to put someone else as our guide. And these days, humility is very counterculture. just as Christ himself was humble, the most humble man who ever lived before God, who served his Father totally in all things. It takes courage to honour Jesus in this world and to give him all the credit. God delights when we honour his Son, and in turn we find true joy and contentment. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is given as a love to us, an encouragement to us. Thank you that you desire us to stand firm together for what really matters. Heavenly Father, we do repent when in the church we experience so much that isn't of you. And we do ask for your peace this day in our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.